Merhaba. This is Nadra Assef coming to you from Beirut, Lebanon. Actually, today I'm out on the streets of Beirut with a group of my students. I am a dance professor and a choreographer in Lebanon and have been here since 1991. I love it. I love my profession. I love my career almost as much as I love listening to Outlander Cast with Marion Blake. And I'm sure if you listen to it, you'll love it just as much. Masaleme. Bye. Adios. Have a great day.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
My name is Blake, and last week we talked about having listeners all over the globe. That there, right there, is proof in the pudding, ladies and gents.
Yes.
We got listeners in Brazil, we got listeners in Beirut, we got listeners like, in Australia, it's just everywhere. And
we love you.
We love all of you.
We love you all so much. And, like, I just love it. I love the internet. I love podcasting. I love that we've been able to connect and meet people who, you know, start off as listeners and then we get to connect online and we become friends. It's so flipping cool.
It is wild how many people we have connected with over these number of years and people that have become family friends and, you know, just it's crazy.
It's crazy.
And it all happens because of episodes like this, Marvin, where we have listener feedback episodes and, you know, you develop these kind of relationships and not only have we benefited from episodes like this, but the listeners themselves have benefited because it's given them a platform to talk, but also talk to each other and form their own friendships, their own relationships. And you know, it's just like this. It's kind of like Match.com, but for dorks.
Okay.
It's like OutlanderCast.com Match, you know, like. Just put for dorks, you know?
Yeah, we're for friends. We hear you, Blake. We hear you. So we want to remind you all that Blake and I are very busy this month. And in addition to podcasting all the time and taking care of our wee bairns, I am still dealing with the effects of the long virus that I will not name. Oh, my goodness gracious.
We don't talk about the Rona.
Yeah, we don't talk about Rona because I still am having serious issues, friends. So this episode, of course, of Listener Feedback is later than we would have wanted it to be released. Honestly, blame me and blame my fatigue. I'm here for it. For those of you who get to watch the video aspect, I'm teaching you a little secret. On days when I'm sleepy and I don't feel good and I don't have any other makeup on, I throw on a bold red lip. Bold red, bold pink.
Oh, yeah.
Fools everyone into thinking you're pulled together. It's awesome.
Hey, by the way, learn more tricks like that at MinWithMary.com.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So head on over to MaryandBlake.com. If you enjoy what we do, we also have some online communities on Facebook. So you could search Mary and Blake. You can go to the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering. And for all of our book friends, you can also join the Outlander Cast Clan Book Club. All right. So I'm ready, Blake.
Let's do it. All right, Marvin, let's release the hounds.
Okay.
But before we release the hounds,
oh.
Got any opening takes? Any opening takes for episode 602?
No.
Nothing?
Because the problem is we're recording this so late, I've already watched 603 three times.
So
tell you what, I liked 603 better.
You're not supposed to say that, Marvin, because we're supposed to watch the 603 preview. We're supposed to talk about what's going on.
Everyone knows. I'll still do it. I'll pretend I don't know.
No, you can't do that now. The whole thing's been all messed up now. What are we doing here?
Magic of podcasting.
Oh, my God. What are we doing?
I showed you the wizard, the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Blame COVID.
Just screwing everything up.
Sorry. Whatevs. So, any hot takes? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, no. It's just opening takes. Opening takes for 602. Opening takes.
I'm here for it, man. I'm enjoying this season so far.
Yeah, sure.
And I enjoy the future episode too. All right, continue.
Opening take. I am really disappointed in Fergus.
Okay.
And I know I was kind of like on the train of like, hey, everybody, let's calm down. Fergus is going through a lot. And I'm still on that train, okay? But the way that he reacted to his son being born and the way that he is with the dwarfism, yeah, I don't think I can get behind that response. I don't think I can. And maybe there will be some more things that help inform that reaction.
Maybe that you've already seen. I don't even know.
But I think I'm kind of out.
Okay.
I'm kind of out on that reaction.
I appreciate
it. And that I think that's my opening take for this episode. That. All right. So let's go to jointhenerdclan.com and for some of the responses that are there.
I love it.
We have a lot of responses from Join the Nerd Clan, and then we have a lot of emails, and then we have a lot of voicemails as well. So we're gonna plow through it.
Laura okay. Gallucci wrote in her that her good was Ian opening up to Marcelli. It was sweet, and it gives you a sense of the love inside the family unit at Fraser's Ridge. Jamie listening in was the cherry on top. Aww. Now I want to get a sundae. Laurel's bad was the Cherokee ladies trying to seduce Jamie. I don't like this one bit. Would a Cherokee chief actually send ladies to Jamie knowing he was married? Would that even be historically accurate? Someone tell me. I don't know.
I would question. Say stats are for nerds. I thought it was funny. Wicked funny. What?
I mean, what she's asking is like, is this a thing they would do culturally?
Oh, well.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's a fair question to ask.
Get woke, man. Please. It's like saying like, oh yeah, they're from Italy. Like all the guys will go... Bella.
Well, they all do.
But like, let's say they didn't. That is something that a lot of people might do. But what they're saying is like, what if they did something else? Like, choo choo. Like, do we know that they do that? But at this point, you're saying that it's about women who are like sexually giving themselves over on the behalf of the chief, all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's multiple layers. It's not just choo choo Italy. It's like, is this
right? I mean, I hear what you're saying.
And maybe it is right. And you know, I got to tell you, I got to do so much research.
It's probably true. It's probably true.
It's so awkward for me to say, but.
I mean, the fact is that I don't know. But
we don't know.
If Diana put it in the book.
Funny,
it is funny.
Just be careful.
The scene was a funny scene.
The scene was a funny scene.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
That's okay. What I'm getting at. All right, continue.
Thank you. Claire's little moment. Laurel's great was Claire's little moments where she started to unpack her trauma. Her conversation with Marcelli, her conversation with Jamie as Marcelli was in labor. I'm hoping that she can take one day to talk to someone, maybe Jamie, to come through, much like how she did for Jamie. And Laurel's kilt rating was 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
How about right. Peg?
Well, I don't have it up because I had the voicemail.
Peg Rogers said,
yeah.
My good, Roger stepping up and telling Fergus what he needed to hear. It's a good start, and I hope that this will lead to more hard conversations with Fergus. It feels like Roger is finally feeling at home and one of the family now. Mm. Peg's bad is trite, but maybe it has to be Tom Christie. The man is twisted, and quite frankly, he triggers my trauma.
Mm.
And Peg's great was everything Ian in this episode. Agree, Peg. Agree. Move over, King of Men. Move over. I mean, don't move over, but like, I will gladly share that both of them. I will be Jamie and they can be the two lads hanging on out. I mean, hey, he's, but you know what it is? It's not just that he's a fine looking fella. Ian's depth in this episode.
Yeah.
Loving it. Let me continue with Peg because this is Peg's moment to shine.
Yeah, let's go. Peg, come on. What we got?
Not my dream. I loved seeing Ian laugh and poke fun at Jamie in the Cherokee Village. So much of Ian's screen time in season 5 and so far in the season has been very serious and sad and heart-wrenching. This felt like some of the old Ian was back. I loved that he's standing up to Jamie and pointing out when Jamie is perhaps not making the best decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I think it portends well for a more mature relationship between them. More partners than idle and idolized. Finally, the blessing for the baby before the birth and after with Marcelli. And can I say, wow, Was he holding that baby in a special way, just wrapped up with love? I hope they continue to have Ian be integral to every episode. And for Blake, you're so right about the reflection of the guy in the surgery glass when Claire is returning from Marshallese to use the ether again. I saw that on my first watch of the episode, and I don't think it was any guy. I think it was Lionel Brown.
Yeah.
And that was a flash of him was a callback to episode 512 when Claire sees him in the window as Jamie is wrapping her in the tartan.
Yes.
So, I love it, and I love her insight into Ian. I agree, having these little extra moments. Bring on the Ian.
Ian, the first thing I think of when I – now that, like, the, you're talking, Peg, about this, like, partnership almost – where it almost reminds me of Anakin and Obi-Wan and the move from episode 2 to episode 3, where episode 2, Anakin was kind of like Obi-Wan's kid.
Yeah.
Like, but episode 3, they were more like brothers.
Well, what I like about it is I feel like a lot of people, you know, we fell in love with Scotland and Jamie and Claire, and we moved away from Scotland, and now we still love Jamie and Claire, but they were away from each other so much, and then all these other people come into the show, and for a lot of people, they weren't able to connect with the younger crew, you know, the Ian, the Bree, the Roger, and it's taken some time for people to get that, but now we're at a point where this family unit is solidified, and we as show watchers, we know the little things about them, so even though it's not a 100% Jamie and Claire storyline like it was in the earlier seasons, I think that a lot of us as viewers, and particular people who are just show watchers, not necessarily book readers, who are able to have those deeper relationships with the characters, are able to have those moments now.
Gotcha. All right, let's get to the next. Let's get to the first voicemail, shall we?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Catherine from Boston.
Hi, Catherine.
Not your cousin. I just took Mary's advice and listened to the season 6 soundtrack.
Oh.
And I feel like we say this every season, but Bear McCreary really outdid himself this season. I only got to the second song, which was the new Fraser's Ridge theme, or New Dawn on Fraser's Ridge. And I just started crying. Yep. So I feel like Mary, you would appreciate that.
I do.
It's my favorite theme of the entire series. And I just love Fraser's Ridge and everything about it.
Yes. Yes.
Bear really did an amazing job. Thank you guys so much for your podcast. Mm. It was so great to watch episode 1 and hear your feedback, because I don't have any friends that watch Outlander.
Girl, we're here.
It's so cathartic to hear you guys talk about it. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, Catherine, you're so sweet. And here's a little tip.
What?
If you have Alexa, you're welcome, by the way, or even your phone, like your phones can do it now too. You can set that song as your morning alarm.
Yeah.
And that.
Oh, that'll wake you up, man.
No, like in a most beautiful.
No, that's what I'm saying. It'll wake you up. Like that'll get you going.
It'll get you like happy tears of beautifulness. Like I'm going to start this day like the new dawn on Fraser's Ridge.
And you know what, Catherine? Just because you said it, that doesn't mean you're not going to get it, because you are.
Your cousin from Boston.
You are. So that's it. That's how it goes.
Janelle writes in that this episode gave us a 4.8 kilt. So many of my favorite scenes as a book reader, she says. Her good was Roger really shines, pun intended, by using Aiden's reaction to the match to cheer Bree up and affirm her. That's Roger's magic, saying the right thing to put things to rights. He also gave Fergus a great pep talk. I agree. That was like my favorite Roger moment.
Yeah, that's a good, that's probably one of my favorite Roger moments.
Roger's been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt.
Don't
miss your kid's birth, Fergus. her great was kudos to everyone for giving me the creeps between seeing Claire's facial expressions at remembering the attack when she was at Marcellese, hearing Lionel Brown's voice, and that look Malva gave Tom Christie at the end. And then her best was, I loved the bit of humor we got in the episode, and we had Adso and Rollo. Yes, she does have a bad. The witch stuff felt a little heavy-handed. I think the Sin Eater is a more worthwhile scene, showing people's superstitions and the customs that went with it. And was it just me, or was anyone else thinking, can you mind your own bloody business? And you can mind your own bloody business, and so can St. Paul, when Malva said the line about St. Paul. Yes. She says, Mary is a fellow music nerd. I love your recital invites. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that the Fursley birthing technique didn't faze you guys. Ironically, I just read an article a few weeks ago how some doulas are using masturbation and orgasms to help alleviate birth pain because it gives you extra oxytocin.
Well, that would do it.
Where was that 9 years ago?
Yeah, I know, right? We could figure that out.
Would have loved Blake. No. Especially no with you.
That's what she said.
You freaking out of the room.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know who? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Roger Mack should have gone in there and said, buck up, man.
Yeah. No, that was brutal what happened. That was, no, we could keep those on because
you're loud in my ear. You're so loud. It's like surround sound. I have to hear you in real life and in my headphones.
It was brutal because I was watching my wife being with a rebozo, being looked like she was being buffed like a
freaking
bowling ball. Blink. It was brutal. It was terrible. I never want to see that again.
So rough on you. All right. So rough on you. All right,
let's get the next voicemail.
Oh my God.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Lauren calling from Adelaide, Australia.
Hi, long-time Lauren.
Outlander cast fan. During Outlander, I managed to get my Mary and Blake fix with the first Bridgerton series, The Leftovers, and the entire This Is Us series.
Holy whoa.
Season six. I actually started The Leftovers on the recommendation of Outlander cast Hall of Fame caller Mandy from Melbourne.
All right.
Hey. Mandy actually hosts her own podcast, which is all about parenting children with disabilities. And she mentioned on an episode last year during one of Melbourne's many lockdowns that she had been watching and enjoying The Leftovers on Blake's recommendation.
All right.
So I jumped on the bandwagon too. Loved it. Thank you for your amazing podcast companion.
You're welcome.
Episode two of Outlander saw Marsley give birth to an adorable baby with dwarfism, and it got me thinking to how amazing it would be if she had Mandy's podcast help her through those early tricky times. I hope that the issues with Fergus are wrapped up quickly and he can enjoy his beautiful babe. Thanks for everything. Keep up the great work.
Oh, well, thank you, Lauren, and welcome to the Leftovers universe. And, you know, if you get a chance to listen to that podcast. Did she say she listened to that?
She did.
Yeah, you get to hear me cry to Damon Lindelof. So, yeah, there's that.
And have Damon tell me I'm a Christmas elf.
I know. Oh, we got one more. We have more. So I'm just going to filter through some of these.
Okay, I didn't know if we were doing every other.
Yeah, I know. We're going to do a couple, and then we'll do that, and then we'll do a couple, and then we'll do that.
You're not giving me the pointing stuff that I'm used to.
I know. That's why, you know, because I didn't point.
And you don't have it in the Google Doc,
because
Blake.
I didn't point, that
you're
means you don't
me
talk.
Any direction.
We already
no
went
direction.
Through this. You know, what you don't know, Mary, because Mary never listens or watches the podcast afterwards. I'm the only dork that does.
Yes.
When I was closing out the last show, the last listener feedback episode, or was it? Yeah.
I don't really care.
Yeah, the last. You weren't here.
Okay.
And Betty was on the mic.
Okay.
And when the music was about to drop for the ending, I pointed at Betty to talk. But Betty wasn't.
Betty obviously didn't, because she's a stuffed dog.
And Betty was looking at me like, buddy, what does that mean? I don't know. And all I heard was. And I'm like, Betty, I'm sorry. Like, we're still learning each other's vibe. We're still learning each other's cadence.
You're wasting my time right now. I'm really happy you had a moment with a stuffed animal, Blake. I'm really happy.
It was funny.
Blake, I have limited energy.
All right, fine.
Let's do this.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. Gina from Toronto here. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yay.
Ring, ring. I'm strictly a show watcher and came to the show in season three when the stars were promoting Outlander on The View.
Nice.
They showed a wonderful clip set in 1940s Boston with Claire and Frank. I was hooked from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Blake, I love Frank and I miss him all the time.
Oh,
in fact, I miss a lot of the 20th century set scenes from earlier seasons. So I got a little excited at the amount of future talk that was discussed in this last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still crossing my fingers we get more modern set scenes back again.
Oh, I think
we're wrong.
I normally don't call into podcasts, but I was compelled this time because I'm grateful that Mary validated something I was fuming about myself. No one consults Bree, a Harvard American history major, on the topic of American history.
Thank you.
Blake, you're wrong about Roger on this point because it was established in the season two finale, Dragonfly and Amber, that it is in fact Bree who is the expert on the American Revolution.
Okay.
He even acknowledges that she knows far more than him when it comes to American history.
Fair enough.
But Blake is right on this. Bree and Roger should be doing nothing other than writing that Back to the Future sports almanac. I too love when the show gets weird. And can you guys speak to the supersized episodes? These last two have been well over an hour. Are the remaining six episodes set to be longer as well? Keep up the good work. Grateful to have your pod.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you like the supersized episodes, Mary?
I do.
I do too.
I feel satiated.
Sometimes episodes like this do feel like they're
wicked long.
Wicked long. So far, I think Outland has done pretty good with it. The first one, you felt it. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, we're going to do one more, and then we'll move on to the writing. Sound fair enough? Okay, sounds here we go. Fair. Let's do it. Here we go.
Hey, Mary and Blake, this is Joey. I'm calling from the land of Fraser's Ridge, North Carolina.
Oh, yay.
We actually don't live that far from Hillsboro, and so it's always fun when scenes from that come up in the show and things that we know about, like Tryon's Palace. Anyway, I have one comment and one outlandish theory. My comment is that I really liked when we learned more about the bruises on Marcelli's wrists. I felt like the writers were leading us down this path of a trope of angry drunk husband beats wife. And when we learn a little more about it, that it was, you know, Marcelli says she was attacking Fergus. I think that just added another dimension and
good subversion.
Is something that maybe we didn't think about, kind of flipped the situation on its head.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that twist. And then my outlandish theory is...
All right, hold on. We gotta... Okay, let's go.
Is Tom Christie's kids are not Tom Christie's biological kids.
Oh, I like
you
it.
Think about the ages of the kids in comparison to, like, Bree's age and where Tom Christie was in Ardsmuir with Jamie. You know, maybe there's so much we don't know. Maybe his wife, that's why she's burning in hell, because she was out there having babies with another guy.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks so much. Love your podcast. And I guess we'll see what happens.
Oh,
have a great day.
Listen, if I was married to Tom Christie and he was thrown in jail, potty. Won't you take me to Funky Town? My husband's crazy.
I would say this, Joey. That's not a Chernobyl take, but that's a pretty hot take. That is just below Chernobyl right there. So excellent. All right, Mary, what else do we got for...
I just had to say something.
What?
You know, talking about how Marcelli was the one actually doing some of the physical assault makes me so awkward. Makes me so awkward.
What do you mean?
When, like, women can, like, hit their husbands and
hurt
their husbands. We had a situation several years ago where I had a friend who she and her husband were going down a dark, slippery slope of marital stuff, and she broke a finger. And she had, like, this huge, like, cast thing and stuff. And it's because she was hitting her husband so much that she broke a finger.
I don't know about this.
Well, I decided I didn't want to be friends with that person anymore because it kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, because I was like, probably shouldn't be doing that, lady. This is, like, extreme. And if it was the other way around, if a man was hitting his wife so hard that he broke a finger, be a different thing. Don't be beating people, period.
Yeah.
Stop.
That'd be really
bad. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah.
Marcelli.
All right.
Sorry.
Christy, what do you got for Christy?
I just had to get that off my chest. Christy says, after my first watch, I really liked it. After rewatching and listening to the podcast and reading the comments, I friggin' loved it.
All right.
I love how many details come to life from hearing others' reviews. Her good was the reaction to the miracle matches. They were like, yeah, so? It's like showing off your salad spinner to my Ingles. Yes. Love it. Yeah, I got
Ma
you.
Ingle.
I love it. Nice prairie reference. Her bad was, I can diagnose your aortic aneurysm with one touch. What? I'm a nurse, and that cracked me up. And then her great, Miss Bug, looking up at the ceiling, a la Mrs. Graham, while they were getting busy upstairs. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Just like with this. Oh, yep, nice. Yep, I like it. 4.8 nice kilts, P.S. Love listening to you laugh with each other until you're out of breath.
Aww.
Well, you know, I'm out of breath real quick.
Yeah.
So you just hold on tight, my friend.
You should see her walk up a flight of stairs.
Right.
Just got to take a break.
Got my friggin' oxygen pulsometer. Just email my doctor before this. Do you know, friends? I'm just going to give you a heads up. They won't let me into the lung COVID clinic because I didn't get COVID before I got vaccinated.
Yeah.
I've got a pet peeve. Just let me in. Give me some medicine.
I wanna... Not great, Bob.
Come on. I promise I've got it.
All right. So I will spare you the wind usage.
Thank
here
you
on this one. Liz says, thank you for this podcast
You're
and
welcome.
The closing tune.
Yeah.
I have a funny tale to tell you about this tune, as a matter
tell
of fact. Obviously, we all know that it's from the movie Moulin Rouge. Well, back in 2003, I was driving to work, and I was about 4 months pregnant with our first child.
Nice.
And this tune came on the radio. I'd recently watched the movie and knew the storyline, and suddenly tears were streaming Aww. Down my face. my husband was with me and he asked what's wrong. And all I could say was, it's just so lovely.
It is.
It's, oh.
Come what may, man.
Mulan, come what may, man. Come what may.
That was Blake and he wasn't pregnant.
Absolutely.
I know.
All right, let's get to the next voicemail.
Hello from the Highlands of Scotland. It's Kirsten Lake.
Kirsten!
In the episode. Or is it? I'm actually just going to give you a bit of different feedback.
Okay.
Bunny's honest, heartfelt message last week stopped everyone in their tracks.
Yes.
It fair brought a tear to a glass eye. And Blake, you handled it so brilliantly.
Thank you.
But it struck a chord with myself and no doubt others in this wee community. Because we're often so caught up in our own wee world shenanigans, we didn't take the time to let others know just how special they are. Mm-hmm. So I just want to echo Bunny's sentiments and say that Blake and Mary, you're a constant source of light and laughter to many of us. You always make us feel brighter and happier just by doing what you do. Mm. So go on yourselves, slancha to you. Oh, and by the way, I tell you, Malva was so sore that she turned the milk. Cheerio for now.
Oh, Kirsten, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
So here's what I'll say to you, Kirsten, and to all the listeners. Mary and I, over the past number of days, I was on a business trip. Mary's been very ill. We're just having some...
My kids are crazy and I had to put alarms in my house because they keep eating all my food in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's been banana land in House Larson, okay? And... Mary and I have been having conversations like, okay, can we do all of this? Like, March is crazy and April is going to be crazy. And, you know, you have these moments of doubt where you think, man,
do our podcast really matter?
I know. Are we putting in all this work? And, you know, granted, I mean, it's very fulfilling. I love doing it. It gives me so much joy and pleasure and fulfilling the community, but like, can we do all of this? And I actually played Mary the voicemail from Bunny, as I promised I would. And you know, when you hear something like that, and Kirsten,
you,
and Kirsten, when you say something like that, it's like, yeah, like it is worth it. It is worth, you know, at the very least, helping people just get through whatever they're getting through. Mm-hmm. And it's a big deal. So trust me, ladies and gents, we're not going anywhere. But I just, when we're having those moments of doubt, it's good to think back on this and say, this is great. All right, we'll do another voicemail.
Hi, Marion and Blake. This is Mayan from Florida.
Hi, Mayan.
My tilt rating for this episode is 4.8. I think it was a really good episode. And my GBG is good. Jamie's decision to contact the king about the guns and the weapons for the Cherokee.
Yes. Sure.
And my bad is the pictures they put in between the scenes. It seems like a bit out of...
Thank you.
Out of space. I have no idea. I mean, it seems really odd. It has
she and I are on the
no
same
connection to the
plane.
Show.
Hi, Anne. Is
she's my girl.
My great is Jamie. My great is Roger speaking with Fergus, giving him that tough talk.
Yes.
And there was one thing that was absolutely wicked. That was the part where Claire went into her workspace and there was that silhouette in the glass door.
Yep.
That was wicked. Creepy. Wicked. And Malva was absolutely creepy. So, so creepy. She is giving such creepy vibes. It's something that is just, you can't take your eyes off of it, but it's creepy.
Yes,
Mayan, it is creepy. And thank you for using the appropriate usage of the word wicked.
I just said to Blake, I'm like, you can tell she's not from Boston because she kept saying like, oh, it was wicked. And I'm like, wicked what? Wicked good, wicked cool, wicked fun, wicked sexy. No, she actually means wicked.
No, like, but then she ended up saying wicked creepy.
You're right.
She ended up saying, you know what? So Mayan, you know what? You're going to get an honorary.
But she also meant wicked
from Boston
in the sense of wicked.
Yes, that's true.
But
I love
it.
You got to give that one more.
I love
ounce.
When I actually hear it, how it's supposed to be used.
I know. No, it doesn't sound right now.
We don't ever say wicked.
No, never. It's like
it's either Wicked as
it's Wicked something.
Yeah, or it's the musical.
Yeah.
Defying Gravity. Other than that, we don't use that word
it's like
here.
Wicked bad.
I mean, and let's be real, we had like all the witch trials, so we're like, nobody's wicked.
Yeah, no. Our baseline for wicked, it's pretty friggin' high.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Yeah. All right, it's fine. All right, we get the next one. This one comes from Katie. She says, I'm not a book reader, so I have no expectations, and I enjoyed this episode very much. P.S. Blake gets me crying with laughter every time he laughs so hard he can't catch his breath.
Me too.
In this episode, I was so excited to see Rollo, and I loved the scene where Ian tells Marcelly he had a child. I want more Marcelly in every episode. She is so great.
Agreed.
And to think that she is Leghair's daughter.
I know. Just remind yourself that every other day.
I got to tell you, Marcelly has become a real asset to this show.
She may be an MVP.
Well, we already have the Marcelly MVP
shirt. I
know,
but like for this season.
By the way, get your Marcelly MVP shirt at the MaryandBlakeStore.com.
someone else might be raring for it, though, this season.
What do you mean?
Roger.
I'm not going to go that far.
Roger practiced in the off season. He brushed his beard. He worked on his intensity.
Got some hot oil treatment.
Yep.
Oh, I'm not going that far yet.
I already watched 603 three times. I'm telling you.
Lightweight still.
No.
Still lightweight
status.
You need
to cut it out. No, he's not. You need a new lightweight.
Until I find a new lightweight, he's
How
lightweight.
How about the twins? Can the Beard Sleep twins be your new lightweights?
Yes,
can we move on from Roger? Because he deserves some love, okay?
The twins, useless.
Okay, so they're useless. Your new lightweight, okay?
They are.
Thank you.
They are
and
the honorary lightweight.
We don't
member.
Even use
I know.
That anymore.
That's why I changed it
so
to
yes,
lightweight.
I like lightweight, and you can feel that way about them.
All right, we got an email from Julie. She says, I hope you're feeling perkier today.
She started with y'all.
Oh, sorry. You're right. Y'all.
Because that's...
That's some twang.
That's Julie.
That's Julie. Julie starts it with y'all.
Yeah.
You're right, Mary. We're going to go with the y'all. Y'all. I hope you're feeling perkier today, and I'm sending every single go-away long COVID vibe.
I need more of them.
Long-time listener, first-time responder. Thank you. This is probably not the way to do a listener response, but I'm fairly certain it's a minority option. But for episode 2, the good, evolving and parallel storylines about our two trauma commandos whose coping mechanisms have failed. Nobody on the ridge has more unresolved trauma than Claire and Fergus. And as a reminder, the brothel child, sexual assault survivor, yes, child yes, soldier,
yes, yes.
orphan, who then loses his adoptive father for yes. years, but only after Redcoats chop off his
yes.
hand. Claire's compartmentalizing and Fergus's turning everything into a joke are no longer working, and they're both self-medicating.
Yes.
But it's going to be a while before Claire becomes obvious. I'm here for all of it. So far, a Fergus incident has led right into a Claire scene. Interesting to see if that continues or if I'm just making this whole link up. I love this whole thing with Fergus. The bad. Loved the interaction between Ian and Jamie in the tent, but the rest of that scene was super cringy. He treated the woman the way that Game of Thrones treats background sexy times women. Did not love. Did, though, love Jamie's "Hi, honey, I'm home" moment, however. The great was Lauren Ding Dang Lyle. Every single second of Marcelly and every
Preach.
Beat in the labor or delivery scene. And the bonus, I really want that Jamie line about the windows to be the writers winking at fans who would complain about the lavishness of the big house, even though it's probably a line from the book. Feel better, kids, and thanks for the years of entertainment.
Oh.
You are delightful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. I have some more voicemails. Here we go. Got to wait for Mary to put on her headphones.
Well, if you didn't have such a loud voice.
Well, I can't help it. It's just how I was born, Marvin.
Turn the volume down in the headphones.
All right. I will. All right, here we go.
I'm not deaf like you. You have very...
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Bunny from Cincinnati.
Hi, Bunny.
Bunny, you're back.
Blake, I promise not to make you emotional this week. It was just something that I needed to say. Thanks for being so lovely about it.
Oh.
I hope Mary got to hear it.
She did.
I promise this voicemail will be somewhat normal. It's very hard for me to be objective regarding Outlander, mm-hmm. and I get very defensive when people criticize it. I do understand your criticisms, and I do appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
My only real issue is when people complain about things not being in the book, or that things were cut or changed, mm-hmm. and they're not happy about it.
Sure.
I wonder if there's a difference between the people who've watched the TV series first and then read the books because of it, like
Ooh.
Me, versus the people who read the books first and then watched the show.
I love that, Bunny.
My guess, and it's only a guess, is that people who watch the TV series first are probably more accepting of the changes than the people who read the books first. Anyway, as you've said many times, people should accept the show as the show and the books as the books.
Mary and Blake
the
commandment.
Books will always be there.
Truth. Yes.
I've never rewatched episodes of a TV show before. My previous favorite show was The West Wing.
Oh, yes.
I have the whole box set. I haven't watched it. For some reason, Outlander is different. The attention to detail, the chemistry, the casting, and the devotion to the show by the cast and crew is something that I haven't experienced before, and that's why I love it. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Thanks, Bunny.
Bunny. Awesome.
You love it, man. That's cool.
So do we.
That's great. I love you it. Rewatch it as much as you want. That's totally cool. I'm
thanks,
in.
Thanks for making it appropriate. Volume level so I could listen to Bunny without being peened.
You're welcome. We're gonna do another voicemail here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because we got a lot, so we gotta fly through these.
Okay, I'm here for it.
All right, and at least you got your headphones on this time.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
I am a first-time caller, and I just wanted to tell you how excited I am that you guys are back at podcasting for Outlander.
Thank you.
Outlander and your podcast have been a huge comfort and security blanket for me. I've been through cancer treatments for a few years now, and I just found out my cancer is back. And even though that is horrible and I'm not happy about it, there has been this really wonderful relief to know that I have something to look forward to on the weekends with the new episodes, and that I have some friendly voices to listen to during the week. So I'm so grateful to you guys being back and posting and knowing that I have that wonderful relief of having Outlander back in my life. So yay. And I really loved Allegiance. I love the fact that we get to see Jamie and Ian back together, and the Marcelli Fergus timeline that's going on right now, I think is one of the most interesting in this book for me. So I'm excited to see where they go.
Yeah.
And that's it. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thanks, Nicole. And listen, I want you to send us an email because I want to send you a little something.
You just stole the words right out of my mouth.
You can tell everyone why.
What do you mean? Oh, it's because she's freaking psychic.
I am.
Some people say that, like, they're like, oh, she's psychic or I'm psychic. And like, you're like, yeah, right, guy, sure. No, my wife is, she legitimately can, I was across the country doing like a business trip. And she's like, hey, did you do X, Y, and Z? And I was in the middle of doing it. There was no context. There was no like precursor. There was no conversation about it at all, ever. And then she's like, oh, hey, X, Y, and Z. And I'm in the middle of doing it as she messaged me out of nowhere. And this happens regularly. And it ain't just that one time, ladies and gents.
I just love it because Blake all reacts the time. Every time. He's like, oh, my God, you did it again. You
freaking did it again. And you did it again with this thing.
I know.
Well, listen, Nicole.
Send us an email.
Again, this is this is kind of like the theme of the day here. This is the reason why, you know, when you have these moments of doubt and then you hear something like that when you're helping somebody through their cancer treatments and you're just like, holy smokes, man. Like, you don't recognize the reach that you have until all of a sudden someone tells you that you got this reach, and it just blows my doors off. So, and trust me, and I say this and I don't say it lightly, it is an honor that you consider us part of, you know, making you happy and bringing light to your world right now. And so do me a favor, send us an email at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com when you hear this. And we'll
send healthy prayers your way in the meantime.
And we're gonna send you something from us. Okay, so we'll go from there. All right, let's get on to the next one. This one comes from
Joanne.
Yes, Joanne. She says, "My name is Joni. I've listened to your podcast since season
That's
one
about Joanne, not Joni. Joanne, right here. That says Joanne.
Yeah, Joanne from Joanne.
Oh." Oh, okay.
See, there you go.
Okay.
Why don't you pay attention to the document?
I'm trying. Sorry, Joni. That's her nickname. It's Joni.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Well, it says from Joanne, and then she has her nickname, Joni. I just wanted to make sure the right person was being read.
She says, I adored this episode. I give it 4.9 kilts. The only reason why it doesn't get all five is that I know what's coming down the pike, and I want to hold my five kilt rating in reserve. The good was Fergus and Mosley. While I appreciate the about the labor scene is that it's the first hint we've had on the show of the darker side of Fergus's childhood in the brothel. Until now, his brothel stories have been sweet brushing the hair of women who work in the brothel, or funny complimenting Claire's breasts when he first meets her. When I hear him talk about the women performing nipple stimulation to assist in the birth of one of their co-workers, babies that weren't always wanted, it brings tears to my eyes. Bad, the first one, the Cherokee ladies. I liked Jamie and Ian's interaction in the scene, but every time I see the ladies ignore Jamie's refusal, it bothers me because Jamie is a rape survivor. It's not simply a language barrier. Jamie says no repeatedly and angles his head and upper body and away from the women. He also physically removes the hand from wandering below his belt. Yes. Two, the ether. I'm not opposed to the concept of Claire either using ether to self-medicate, and I liked the ending of episode one that establishes this storyline. My problem so far has to do with execution. Blake is fond of saying, don't tell me, show me. I'm not just fond of it. It's a Mary and Blake media commandment. So far, Claire has told people she can use ether to operate on them, but the only way we've seen her use ether on screen is to self-medicate. I feel like the writers chose to have Claire self-medicate in this way because it's a way she can misuse her medical knowledge. That being said, I feel like we need to see her use ether legitimately at least once. This allows Claire to keep telling herself, yes, I've self-medicated, but there was one time I removed so-and-so's appendix while he was anesthetized with ether, so I don't have a problem. If there's not one mark on the legitimate side of the ledger for Claire to hang her denial on the self-medication storyline, that will become more problematic for me. Oh my good, Joni, I just have to say this. Bam! Just like that. A winner! Listen, I love what you're saying here. 100%. 100,000%. There has to be a mark in the ledger for legitimate use. Because why else is Claire creating ether other than to just manufacture her use of ether, right? Do you see what I'm saying, Mary?
Yep.
While I'm a huge fan of the ether storyline, your thoughts here, Joni, about making it legitimate is a perfect, I think, salve for those who don't like the ether plotline. Excellent. Great for her was the sex scene that you did not mention, Mary and Blake. The sequence when Jamie comes home from the Cherokee is fabulous. Everything from throwing his awesome leather coat at Mrs. Bug while shouting Claire's name on the way upstairs to cutting back downstairs a few minutes later where Mrs. Bug looks knowingly up at the ceiling when she hears thumping noises. This is a great callback to episode 101 when the bed and the breakfast owner looked knowingly at the ceiling when she heard Claire and Frank's squeaking bed springs. Then the scene cuts away to the sexy afterglow conversation, which proves that a scene doesn't necessarily need nudity to be sexy. Then there's the segue into the conversation about guns and the Cherokee. This is a great illustration of Claire and Jamie's relationship in their give and take as a couple, and it shows another level of intimacy between them. Two, the Jamie as Laird. In all of the Jamie's interactions with Tom Christie this episode, Jamie is every inch the Laird. The scene in front of the meeting house is especially great. Jamie's parting remark about window panes is a great callback to Dougal bribing the priest with new windows so that he will bend the rules to marry Jamie and Claire quickly. Mary, don't go breaking our studio. Honorable mention has to go to Mrs. Wilson's funeral. It was great to see one of my favorite scenes from the book on screen. Thanks, Mary and Blake. I look forward to your podcast every week during the Outlander seasons. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you from that very much for that, Joni. I appreciate it. And that was a great take about the ether. I could see Mary shutting down right now, ladies and gents.
I'm having a hard time breathing.
I know. I can see you shutting down. So we are going to do one more email. Okay. For those of you who do not read, I did not read. I apologize.
We will fit them in. We will. There will be like a listener feedback 602 part two. I promise. I'm just actually having a hard time breathing.
Yes, I know. So we are going to, where is that one
it's
email?
It's Natasha.
No. I want to find this one specific email that I really wanted to get at. All right. So this one comes from Bill. He actually sent us a very nice message. Bill, I received your message and we're going to reply to you in email form. But just know that I received your message, the one that you wrote, but it was just tremendous. And he also wanted us to include some of his feedback for this episode. Thank you. This one comes from Bill. He says, the kilt rating for your podcast first is a 5+.
Oh my God, Bill.
It's a horse. It is a horse. That's a great This Is Us 2 reference. Thank
Bill's
you so much.
Bill's waking me up.
He says that I'm a Giants fan, but I'm honest enough to admit that even though the Giants beat the Patriots in 2 Super Bowls, I rate your podcast as a Tom Brady, definitely the GOAT over an Eli
Tom
Manning.
Brady, retire and mean it.
He has 2 points. 1, Jamie's humor. Yeah. He was hilarious in so many ways this episode. Yeah. If you had captions on during the scene when the Cherokee woman tried to have sex with him, he says, who do they think I am? And Cherokee woman strokes Jamie down there and says, Christ! No, uncle, they don't think you're him.
For those of you who don't do Outlander with captions, I highly recommend it. I like to watch it the first time without it and then the second time with it.
Yeah.
Love it.
We do the same thing with The Last Kingdom as well.
Oh my God. Yep.
Yeah, because you need
all
it.
These mumblings.
I know. Then when Jamie made it back to the ridge, I laughed out loud when he took off his coat and threw it at Mrs. Bug. It was like Michael Scott throwing his clothes at Pam while he was watching Devil Wears Prada.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Oh, that just made my day, Bill. That was great. Thank you so much. And after some rumpy pumpy with Claire, if you look at the room, it's a complete mess. Books, a candlestick, all on the floor. Lastly, at dinner, when Bree says, we have some exciting news. Jamie's face and dialogue are priceless. He assumes Bree is pregnant, immediately says, a toast! Get the whiskey, Sassenach. Minor scene, but it made me laugh out loud. And 2, Fergus and Bubbies.
Yep.
In 3, in A Malcolm, we had Dorcas and Bubbies. Yep. Which is an absolute Mary and Blake Hall of Fame material. I thought the scene with Fergus and Mosley's Bubbies was rather strange, but hey, apparently it was a great technique back then. And
it's technique still now.
Still now. I don't have a GBG, but I do have a great. It is when Roger confronts Fergus. His speech to wake Fergus up from his drunkenness to let him know that Marceline needs him is just amazing. Roger is really killing it this season. Thank you, too, for all that you do. And he forgot to mention that he started watching This Is Us because of us.
Oh.
And now he's obsessed with that show.
And now you know way too much about us. For those of you who enjoy Blake and I and you don't listen to This Is Us too.
Oh, you want to listen to that show. You definitely do.
I mean, maybe they don't. They're like, we get enough of you guys.
Mary, I don't know what long COVID feels like, but I will pray for you every day to ask that you be fully healed. Most sincere regards, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
So as I said, we're going to read all this stuff because y'all take the time to write and send in voicemails, and we do want to honor.
Yeah, we appreciate and we honor that. It's just that Mary is just shutting down.
Really struggling right now.
But as you watch this live. So, all right. That's it. And normally, again, we would watch the preview for the next episode. But
I already told you I've watched it 3 times.
Yeah, and since Mary's just deflating like Baymax.
Oh, I am, and I'm wearing white.
I know. We're gonna close this bad boy out. Are you ready for it, Marvin?
Oh, I am.
All right, let's do it. Oh, I am. We can't hear you, Marvin.
Why can't you hear me?
Because the music's playing, you hoop. It's loud.
Of course it is, because you're in charge of it. Okay. Of course it's loud. Good thing I don't have my headphones on now.
Right,
I know
I can hear it.
I said, well, I need Claire's help. What would Claire give me?
Ether?
No, she would not. No, she would not. She definitely wouldn't.
She'd probably give you some weird
plant. I don't have a problem being sleepy.
She would. No, you do not. Even without the long COVID.
Oh, my God. If they were like, oh, who needs to sleep? It should have been like you.
Yes.
You know, like who has insomnia? Those people should have gotten my symptoms of long COVID.
Yes.
I, however, am like, Mr. Bean.
You okay? Basically, you know, have narcolepsy. Yeah, he has narcolepsy. That,
in the movie, Rat Race.
Yeah, Rat Race.
Yeah,
that's you.
Yeah, I don't actually have narcolepsy, but I you can turn it on when do. I want to.
Yeah.
It's like the best of both worlds. Like I don't fall asleep when I don't want to.
Fall asleep anywhere,
but I
anytime,
can fall asleep
any day.
My favorite is that I fell asleep in a music recording studio floor.
I don't know
while
how
people
you did
were
that.
Recording. It was the only recording session we had was 2 a.m. So I made the most of it.
Oh my
I would lay down my sax tracks and then I'd take a nap. And then I'd lay down another track and I'd take a nap.
And like when we go on a plane, I'd be like, Mary, can you just like hang out with me? Yeah, sure.
No. Goodbye.
And I cannot sleep on planes, cars, train, nothing. I just can't do it. I can barely sleep as it is. Never mind in a bed.
Yeah, you got me. Who can sleep anywhere? Now I might be getting narcolepsy. Oh, man. And for anyone who actually has narcolepsy who's listening, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're not
no
making
offense.
Fun of you.
I'm just
we're just
saying.
We're actually highlighting the fact that...
That this ain't good.
Brutal.
Claire would make me super coffee.
The best coffee. She'd give you like chocolate-covered espresso beans.
She'd just make me eat the dirt in which the plant grew.
She'd give you some weird plant. She definitely would.
I don't know. She'd just touch my head and fix it. You're all better, Mary.
That would be nice.
That'd be cool.
Hey, let me see if that works. Ready?
No, you don't. No. Oh, you stink. That actually hurt. My sinuses are inflamed. All right, I'm going to go. Everyone, we promise we're here. We may not be in a regular schedule. Make sure that you're on our texting reminder
yes.
list because now more than ever, I have no idea when I can record. Smile.
And it just happens to be in our busiest month, I think, that we've ever had. Ever.
You know, it's not like Bridgerton drops also this week.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
No.
Bridgerton friends, you just got to be patient.
Yeah.
Drink some more tea.
Wait. Oh.
You got
all the tea.
You're last in line.
We got TLK. Oh. This is
Potter.
Us. Potter.
Two Outlanders.
Oh, man.
And I have two children.
And you got long COVID.
And I have Blake.
Might as well be a third kid.
Yeah.
It's just.
Oh, my God.
A mess.
I'm
total
go
mess.
Get a coffee.
And go to sleep.
Yes.
All right.
Bye, friends.
Bye. We'll thank you, everybody.
Soon.